Happy Sabbath, everybody.
I don't see that wireless mic, so maybe I'll try to use this here. I could bow with me as we open with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord God, I thank you, Lord, for each and every one that's here today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd add an extra special blessing to those that have come together here to worship you and praise your holy name. I pray, Lord, that you bless this time together. I pray, Lord, that as we review your word and look at it, Lord, that I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to take it into our hearts and minds, Lord, and that we can apply it to our lives and serve you better, Lord, and to love one another and to love you, Lord. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Today I'd like to review a story out of the book of John chapter 9. I'm going to review the entire chapter. I'm going to sprinkle in a few other verses along the way that I think are relevant to the story. John chapter 9 is about the blind man that Jesus heals. He's a man that he's blind from birth, and Jesus comes across them and he restores his sight. I think he restores his sight physically, and he gives him sight spiritually. It's like Nacho's finding that wireless mic for me. But I'll keep going. So if everybody's in John chapter 9, I'd like to read the first three verses to start with. And it says, "And he saw Jesus, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him." Thank you, Nacho. How's that sound there? Is that better? Set that aside. I don't dance around as much as Pastor Larry used to, but just have a little freedom from the mic. I think Larry always went right. Was it right that he went or left? He always went one direction when he had a point, and then he came back. People have different styles. Anyway, Jesus is asked a question here. He's asked, you know what? This guy's a blind guy, and he's born that way. And we're looking at, well, whose fault is this? You know, was it the sins of his parents, or was it his own sins that resulted in him being blind? And Jesus, he responded, he says, it's neither this man's sin nor his parents, but this guy was born blind because God had a different plan here. He wanted to show the works. It's through him, the works of God would be manifested in him. And that Jesus was about to perform a miracle. Something that's not an unusual occurrence. You know, you usually see blind people healed and have their sight restored. This is something that's very unique. But I do believe that the blind man had his sins, and the parents had their sins. These are some key verses out of Romans that I think we should all know and be prepared to have on our mind if we're prepared to spread the message of Jesus and his gospel. And we recognize that we all have sins. He says, if we look at Romans 3:23 and 24, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And there's consequences to sin. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." But with this particular man, His blindness wasn't a cause of sin, but there was another reason. I think we see in the Bible there's evidence that there's different reasons why things happen to people. Sometimes we don't know those reasons. The story of Job is a prime example of that. Job suffered loss, and in the review of the story, you see that Job, wasn't even sure why it happened, but through it all, he still gives God the glory. Sometimes in our lives, we experience things and we're not sure why. This man was born blind, and I think on the surface, you would think this is a horrible thing that would happen to you. But in a way, I think we could be envious of this man. This man who was born blind had a very special encounter with his Lord, with his Savior. And he became a powerful witness. Carrying on down to verse 4 of John, it says, "I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." In Isaiah chapter 42, starting with verse 6, I'm going to read verse 6 and 7 of Isaiah chapter 42. He says, "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the eyes, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house." This is a prophecy referring to Jesus, that he will be the one that will open the eyes of the blind. Jesus states in John chapter 9, verse 5, he says that, "I am the light of the world, and I am the light of the world." And he has a purpose that he was sent for. One of the things that he was sent to do was to open the eyes of the blind. Continuing on in verse 6, it says, "And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and he made clay out of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said to him, 'Go to the pool of Siloam,'" which is by interpretation sent. "He went his way and washed and came seeing." So Jesus, he does a little bit of excavation here, a little bit of irrigation, manufactures a little bit of ointment for this man's eyes. He directs him to go to this pool called Siloam to wash. I was kind of interested in this Siloam place, and I looked that up a little bit. Apparently in 2004, an archaeologist discovered some steps leading down. They excavated further, and they think that this is the pool of Siloam that they were able to locate. Apparently there was some infrastructure, some pipe that was that they were trying to repair, and discovered this. They believe this pool of Siloam is a part of the aqueduct that was fed by a spring, I think it's pronounced Gihon, that Hezekiah had built, that came through the city of Jerusalem, and they were able to have water even when they were under attack from the Assyrians at that time, because they had the springs that came from without the city and was brought into the inner walls there. It's interesting that by interpretation that this pool was sent, and then that Jesus sent this blind man to go there and wash. In John 9, chapter 8, it says, "The neighbors therefore, and they saw which had been done, been seen and was done to the blind man, said, 'Is not this he that sat and begged?' And some said, 'This is he.' And others said, 'He is like him.' But he said of himself, 'He says, I am he.' Therefore they said unto him, How are your eyes healed? How were they opened?" I'd like to read with you a little bit out of Isaiah. This is another prophecy referring to Jesus and that he was going to heal the blind. He says, starting with in Isaiah chapter 43, starting with verse 7, I'm going to read through verse 11. It says that even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witness that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. How were his eyes opened? How is this possible? The neighbors, they look around, they say, this looks like him. Before he couldn't see, and now he can see. And we weren't even sure if it was him. But he says, it was me. I was blind. Picking up in verse 11 of John chapter 9, it says, and he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, and he anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And he went and washed, and he received sight. Then they said unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that was aforetime and was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keeps not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can this man be a sinner and do such a miracle? And there was a division among them. So he testifies to the Pharisees. He tells them how he was made able to see. The Pharisees begin to make a determination. They say, well, this guy can't be a man of God because he healed this guy on the Sabbath day. Others said, well, if he's not a man of God, how is he able to do these miracles? So we have a difference of opinion here on the nature and who Jesus is. It says there was a division. Is there not a division even this day on who Jesus is? Was he for real? Was he able to heal the blind? They say he's a sinner because he's healing on the Sabbath day. I believe that Jesus is not a sinner. What he did was not a sin. In Hebrews chapter 4, starting with verse 14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. According to Hebrews, specifically there in verse 15, although he was tempted as we are, he was without sin. I would conclude, based on this scripture, that the Pharisees are wrong. He is not a sinner. What he did was not a sin. What he did was not a violation of the Sabbath. I'm going to turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, starting with verse 8. It says, For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into the synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day? Will he not lay hold on him and lift him out? How much then is this man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Jesus says it's okay to do good on the Sabbath. Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill. I think Jesus was a Sabbath keeper, and he loved the Sabbath. It says here that he was the Lord of the Sabbath. But there's a difference here between what the Pharisees see as keeping the Sabbath and what the Lord of the Sabbath sees as keeping the Sabbath. One of the things we look at as the church, the God's Seventh Day, is we're trying to promote, as conference-wide, they're looking at the ideas. We want to be known as a Sabbath-celebrating organization. That the Sabbath is a delight to us. I think we want to be careful, not be blinded like the Pharisees, and see things that, about the Sabbath that aren't there. We need to focus and keep it in a Christ-centered perspective of the Sabbath and our relationship to it. I would conclude that Jesus is without sin, and therefore what he did was not a violation of the Sabbath. The Pharisees were looking at it as an idea of, here's the Sabbath. He's violating it. This must not be a man of God. But at the same time, they were missing some of the promises of the Old Testament. They were missing some of the vision of who to look for. I'm going to continue on in John a little bit here. We'll get into some of the promise that Jesus had and the way to identify him of who he is a little further down. In John chapter 9 verse 17 it says, They said unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him? That he hath opened thy eyes? And then he said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. And he had received his sight until they called his parents unto him that he had received his sight. And they said to him, saying, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he not see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spoke his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed already that if any man confessed that he was Christ, that he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age. Asked him. The parents, they know he was blind. They know he could now see. They say they don't know by what means. It seems to indicate that maybe they did actually know by what means, but they were afraid to say. The blind man, though, he acknowledges and he says, This man's a prophet. Picking up in verse 24, it says, Then again they called the man that was blind and said to him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, Whether he be sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas was I blind, now I see. This is an interesting phrase to me. They say, give God the praise. Identify Jesus as a sinner. But the blind man says, well, I'll tell you what I do know. I know that, can't tell you whether or not he's a sinner, but I can tell you what I know is I experienced this. I was blind, and now I see. He testifies to what he knows. Then verse 26, it says, then they said to him again, what did he to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Maybe if they ask him again and again and again, his story will change. But his story is consistent because he knows what happened to him. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not whence he is. We don't know where he came from. They say they believe in the God of Moses. Which is interesting. As I look at Exodus, back in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 through 12, this is an encounter that God had speaking with Moses. And it says, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said to him, who hath made man's mouth, or who hath made the dumb, or who hath, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. This is when Moses is being called to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. He tells the Lord, you know, I'm not a very good speaker. I'm not very eloquent. But God tells Moses, who is it that makes one blind? Who is it that makes them have sight? Who is it that makes them deaf? Who is it but me? Flash forward to where Jesus is at. These guys are saying, we know Moses. We know Moses talked to God, but we don't know who you are. But what did this guy just do? He made the blind see, right? What did God tell Moses? He says, I'm the one that makes the blind see. But yet they don't make this connection. One thing I think about is, you think about is in believing in God, you say, well, one thing we start off with is the idea is, do you believe that God created you? Yes or no? Is that good? Amen. Amen. If God created you and you die, do you think that God would also have the ability to bring you back to life? If God gave you eyes and you were born blind, do you think it's God that can give you sight? Who can do this but God? But the Pharisees in their myopic vision are unable to see. They're distracted. They're missing the big picture. They're not seeing the miracle that just happened before their eyes. Though they have eyes, they cannot see. There's a song that I like. It starts off as, open my eyes, I want to see Jesus. I'd like to share with you a few verses out of Luke. This is where John the Baptist, it's kind of interesting, John the Baptist is the guy that says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. But apparently he's some distance from Jesus at this point, and he sends his disciples. And he wants to know about this Jesus. And it says, now when the men come, this is Luke chapter 7, verse 20. And it says, when the men came unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And this is the response that he gets. And in the same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and evil spirits, and unto them that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to the poor, the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. John the Baptist is in. Is this the guy? Is this the one? Jesus' response. Look at the signs. Look at what is happening. Tell John about the blind that has received their sight, the deaf that now hear, how the gospel is preached to the poor, how lepers are cleansed, how the dead are raised. These signs that the Pharisees should have known, that are prophesied, that are mentioned in the law, that they say that they knew, that they studied, but they were unable to see. John, he knew what to look for. And Jesus knew that John knew what to look for. I'd like to continue on in John chapter 9, verse 30, and complete the story. It says, The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing that you may not, that why herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. The blind man perceives that this is a marvelous thing. The people can see, can't see. But he was blind, but now he sees. We're talking about a physical sight. We're also talking about a spiritual sight. The Pharisees, they could physically see. But spiritually, they were dead. They weren't recognizing what was written in their own scriptures that they said that they knew. They weren't recognizing the prophecy that was being fulfilled before their eyes. Verse 31, it says, Now we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doth his will, he heareth him. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. What a testimony. What a testimony from this man. I would almost say, man, it would almost been almost worth it to be born blind, to go through that kind of life, to have that kind of encounter with the Lord. The Pharisees answered him, they answered and said unto him, You were altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. After his testimony, the thing that his parents feared, and why they didn't want to confess, which I think they probably knew, is how he received his sight, happens to him. He has a miracle that's performed on him, that the marvelous works of God may be known. And he's thrown out on his ear. But what happens to him when he's thrown out? Guess who he gets to see? Verse 35, it says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And the blind man says, he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him? And Jesus said to him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talks with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Do we believe in the Lord? Do we worship Him? Do we love Him? Do we recognize that it is He who gives us sight, spiritually and physically? Do we recognize that it is God that gives us understanding, that gives us wisdom? We're here today. Our primary purpose is to worship God. God is our Lord. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. It's a miracle that He even created us. It's a miracle that we even have breath. He's worthy of our worship and our adoration. And He's given us a special day to do it. A day to remember Him. A day to remember that He's our Creator. A day to be restored and rejuvenated, like this blind man was restored. Jesus continues, He says, and He said, Jesus said, "For judgment I came into the world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with Him heard these words, and they said to Him, "Are we also blind?" And they said unto Him, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." The Pharisees' sin remained because they don't recognize their own sin. At the beginning, I read a couple verses there that acknowledged that all of sin comes short of the glory of God. The preceding words identify the gift and the grace of God. But first, we must acknowledge our sins. The Pharisees see their righteousness within themselves, but they don't see their righteousness from whence it comes. They don't see their righteousness as being something that comes from our mediator, the one who has been tempted, but yet without sin. We have a good and loving God who loves us, who's gracious to us and merciful to us when we come to Him, acknowledging our sin and calling upon His mercy. I'd like to close with Psalm 100. It's a beautiful psalm. It says, "A psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. We know that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures all to all generations." May God bless you and keep you, and may His light shine upon you.